John chapter 10, beginning in verse number 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable Jesus spake unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And now we want to pay particular attention. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. Now, what is the theme of the parable and the explanation given under? I asked you to pay particular attention to verse number 11. And verse number 14. When Jesus says something twice, do you think we should pay attention? I think so too. Jesus says twice in the passage that we just read, I am the good shepherd. What does that imply? Yes, that there are bad shepherds or shepherd. And so I thought that at this juncture it might be good to take a little detour and look at the idea of shepherds in the scripture. It's very familiar. Starts way back in the book of Genesis and continues on past where we are here in John chapter 10. But before we do that, let's pay attention to what has transpired from, let's say, the previous two chapters and then on up until now in chapter 10. What, in other words, draws this parable forth at this particular time? What did we learn in John chapter 8? And John chapter 9, that could have drawn this parable forth.
Christ is the only way. He's the way, the truth, and the life.
Yes, he is the way, the truth, and the life.
But he says, I am.
We will.
So John 14, 6.
We will.
I meant that, though, that he's God.
Yes.
Because he says, I am.
He is, but let's pay attention to the parable. That's what we're looking at. The parable of the sheep and the sheepfold and the good shepherd, as opposed to...
We just get through the woman taken in adultery, and she's been accused, and he has a conversation with the Pharisees, of which they leave, the accusers leave, and he tells her, I am. I'm God. because she said, he said, where are your accusers? And she said, they all left. And
mm-hmm. he said, nobody accusing me now.
Right, and neither do I. And he set himself apart, saying that.
He did, but let's stay with the picture of the good shepherd.
And then he has the whole discourse. And then we get to the blind man. And it's, you know, all through that, Christ is saying the same thing. I am the good shepherd. I'm the only way that you're going to be able to do this. And then if we get to 10 and 14, after he says, I am the good shepherd, two things are brought out. Good shepherd gives his life for his sheep.
Mm-hmm.
And good shepherd knows his sheep, and his sheep know good shepherd.
Okay. Let's set this into a narrower context. Jesus says that I am the good shepherd, and he says it at this particular point. That implies that there are false shepherds, shepherds that are not good. And so if you're looking at that aspect of this in particular, what do you think brought this parable forth at this particular time?
The Jews, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees, Jesus is saying everybody basically is sinners. They're all, the Pharisees and the Sadducees didn't see themselves as sinners. They didn't.
That's true.
They didn't see themselves as being bad, but really.
At least you are on the idea of good shepherds and bad shepherds.
Exactly. So maybe that's why this came about, because
he's
a hireling. So the Sadducees and Pharisees are the hirelings. They don't care. They're not theirs.
Okay.
The sheep aren't theirs.
Look at verse number 6. This parable spake Jesus unto them. What is the purpose of a parable? And what is a parable?
It's like an illustration.
It's an illustration to show forth what?
A truth.
It's to convey a truth by some familiar thing that would be readily understood. Do you think that Israel at this point in time was still sheep country? Of course. They all understood what the idea of a shepherd was. And isn't Jesus talking about shepherds right from the get-go, right in verse number 1? He talks about the sheep fold and some that would climb up by some other way rather than coming through the door. Who do you suppose he's talking about here? The scribes and the Pharisees. If you look at chapter 8 and chapter 9, there's a huge conflict between the Lord Jesus and the scribes and Pharisees. How did chapter 9 end up? They threw the blind man out? How did chapter 8 end up? Yes, they accused the Lord Jesus of having a devil. Now Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd, which implies they are the ones that are climbing into the sheepfold by some other way. So who do you suppose the sheep represent in this parable? Don't forget that Judas was one of his followers.
Mm-hmm. Which sheep are we talking about? All the sheep or the ones who are following him?
In 14, verse 14, it says, my sheep know mm-hmm. me.
Yes.
So it's, in this case, these sheep are Jews that believe in Christ.
Of course. Absolutely. And he's the good shepherd. So let's just take chapters 8 and 9. Do you think there may have been a couple of sheep? The blind man. What was the Pharisees' reaction to the blind man? They cast him out. What about the woman taken in adultery? When you think about this and put it in a context, then it starts seeming really reasonable that Jesus would use a parable like this, especially since the idea of a shepherd was so well known. Okay, let's think about something else. Verse number 6, this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. What does this imply? Okay, they didn't see it. Do you think he's also speaking to his disciples here?
I would think so.
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. Do you think these disciples were ignorant of who he was? And even after he explains the parable to them, they still didn't get it? One of the striking things we see in the Gospels is that they didn't get it until the day of Pentecost. Because these are spiritual things and they must be spiritually discerned. Do you think the disciples learned a great lesson on the day of Pentecost?
Oh, yes.
What was it?
The Holy
Ghost. Yes, but do you think they might have looked back at that time when Jesus was with them and they couldn't understand a word he was saying? And now they have the Holy Spirit and suddenly the light begins to shine?
That's why they wrote the Gospels.
Sure. Absolutely. Okay. I want to look at the fact that shepherds are a constant theme in the Scriptures, and the sheep have always heard his voice, and that there have been other shepherds recorded in the Scriptures, which are shadows and types of this good shepherd, which sets him apart from those that came before, and you'll probably be interested to know that there are seven mentioned in the Scriptures, and we will go and take a look at those seven.
We can do this for the next 6 months.
We could. I'm not planning to take 6 months because this detour really isn't a detour at all. It's going to fill in a lot of the blanks. So, let's talk about shepherds being a constant theme of the Scripture. And let's start, of course, as our manner is, by being Bereans. What would that mean?
From starting Genesis with Abel.
A good surmising, but not yet. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 49 to begin with and see that Christ is a theme concerning, shepherds are a theme leading up to the good shepherd. So let's take a look at Genesis chapter 49 and we'll start reading here in verse number 22. Genesis 49, what's in Genesis 49 quickly? What's the content of Genesis 49? I'm always after you to kind of file these things away, because if somebody asks you a question, you ought to know right where to go in the Scriptures to give them the answer.
The kids of Jacob.
That's it. This is the patriarchal blessing, Jacob's famous last words, if you will. Very, very prophetic. Jacob Israel is a prophet. Here's what he's got to say about Joseph. You'd be very interested in that, wouldn't you? Verse number 22, Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, and blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breasts and of the womb, the blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph, and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. Now, this is just an introduction to a look at these seven shepherds, and you've probably already guessed Joseph is one of them. You'll notice that I emphasize something in verse number 24. From thence. From where? From Jacob? It's a parenthetical expression, so what does it refer to? The from thence. Refers to Jacob, doesn't it? By simple rules of grammar. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. So where's the shepherd, the stone of Israel, to come from? Out of Jacob. Now, it's not going to come through the tribe of Joseph, but it is going to come out of Jacob. By the way, where did it come from?
Judah.
Absolutely. We're not going to look at that because we're looking at shepherds right now. Well, it's interesting here that not just shepherd is used in this parenthetical expression in verse 24. From thence is the shepherd, but also the stone of Israel. These two things are connected together. So this shepherd spoken of is also the stone of Israel. What do you suppose that means? Well, let's turn to Matthew chapter 21. Where you're thinking about it. Well, you're close. Matthew chapter 21 and verse number 42. Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 42. Now, here again, he's just given the parable of the wicked husbandmen. And in verse number 42, he sums it up. Jesus saith unto them. Who do you suppose the them is here? Yes, we'll learn that in verse number 45. A certain subset of the Jews. Jesus saith unto them, did you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. And it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And when the chief priests and Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them. They can be perceptive when they want to be, can't they? But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude because they took him for a prophet. So what do we learn about this stone of Israel? The stone of Israel is one and the same with that good shepherd. Okay, that helps us with the identity, doesn't it? Let's take a look at another scripture. Go to Psalm 80. Psalm 80. Psalm 80 and verse number 1. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. Before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up thy strength, and come and save us. Let's just stop there and ask ourselves a question. How does this relate to the shepherd, the stone of Israel? There's a name in verse number 1 that should immediately help you make a connection. Joseph, of course. Joseph. Now, Joseph was a fruitful bough. How was Joseph fruitful? Don't you dare look at verse number 2.
Well, he did keep certain parts of the nation of Israel alive during a certain famine.
He did. But look at verse number 2. And we'll get to that when we look at Joseph as a type of Christ. Of course, Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh. It's kind of interesting when you look at the layout of how they camped in the wilderness. Four sides to the camp, three tribes per side. What three tribes were the closest to the tabernacle? Oh, a lucky guess, I'm sure. Yes, Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh. Now, Ephraim became a term for something later in Israel pertaining to Israel. It was a name that the entire northern kingdom went by. Ephraim. The entire northern 10 tribes were sometimes referred to under the single moniker of Ephraim. That's pretty fruitful. Somebody would say, but where are the 10 tribes? Oh, stay tuned. Stay tuned. You'll get to find out who the 10 tribes are if you don't ask as soon as you get there by looking over the parapets of heaven and watching what's going on. No, they're not in the five boroughs. No. Okay. Let's.
Aren't they the ones who will be testifying during the time of judgment?
Of course, there's 12,000 out of each of the 12 tribes. But it's interesting here that Jacob in Genesis 49 speaks of Joseph being a fruitful bough. But if you read Jacob's history before he's on his deathbed in Genesis 49, when he gives the patriarchal blessing, who does he give it to? Concerning Joseph. He takes Ephraim and Manasseh as his own children. So Joseph actually gets two tribes. What did the firstborn get in the father's will? A double portion.
So
absolutely.
So Joseph got the double portion and not
Yes, it's all.
According to tradition, it really didn't go to who it.
No, because Reuben was unstable as water. Reuben was the firstborn, but you always see God reversing things. In the case of Jacob and Esau, he also did it with Ephraim and Manasseh. Remember that Joseph was kind of upset because Jacob put his right hand on the head of Ephraim, who was the second born. In other words, he set Ephraim ahead of Manasseh. God does that over and over, and then you always find out why God's ways always trump man's traditions. Always. But before we move on, look at this verse number 1 again. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel. Now we got shepherd of all of Israel. Thou that leadest Joseph, that fruitful bough, like a flock. We keep seeing shepherd stuff in here. That dwellest between the cherubims. Whoa! What does this say about the shepherd?
He's pretty high powered. Wasn't that the cherubims that kept?
Well, what dwelt between the cherubims and above the mercy seat in the tabernacle? The Shekinah glory of God, the representation of the dwelling place of God, if you will. So what is this verse saying concerning the shepherd of Israel? He is Jehovah God. Wow. Without even looking, what does Psalm 23 and verse number 1 say? Oh, yes. What is David saying there about the Lord? He is his what? We just keep running into this over and over, don't we? And yet we're going to find out that David is a type of Christ. And, well, that in its turn. How about Isaiah chapter 40? We're just getting used to now the idea that the symbol of the shepherd is used over and over in the scriptures. And I just selected a few here, just a select few to give you the idea that this is a consistent theme of scripture from Genesis on. Isaiah 40, and we'll start reading in verse number 9. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 9. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hands, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. Verse number 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Now, Isaiah's a prophet, isn't he? What do you suppose he's prophesying here? Okay, but he's talking about Zion in verse number 9, and then he speaks of the city of Zion, Jerusalem, and then he ties it together with the idea of the Lord coming with his strong hand, and then in verse number 11, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. Pardon? Of course, it's a messianic prophecy. Now, has this come true yet? Has this prophecy been actualized in the course of history?
For us, it has. Here, it has.
Mm, Yes, but he's not speaking to the church here, is he?
No.
He's speaking to Zion. He's speaking to Jerusalem.
Well, in that case...
No, of course not. What period in human history is this speaking of? Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they that pierced him. Of course. Of course. And yet we still find the shepherd. Verse number 11, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young, the salvation of Zion by that good shepherd. Let's look at another one, shall we? How about Ezekiel 34? Somebody by now must be saying, wow, this is a kind of a consistent theme in the scriptures. Ezekiel chapter 34. Now we'll have to do some reading here, but that's okay. Maybe when we get done, you'll have in your mind what's in Ezekiel chapter 34. Let's start in verse number 1. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, and by the way, I know that you looked at the context in that last series of verses we read in the book of Isaiah. Did you kind of notice what came before? Or did all my instruction about context?
I was actually reading afterwards.
Oh, okay, well, there's a defense. We got a lawyer in amongst us.
Kind of describe God.
Before that, though, we found the grass withereth, the flower fadeth away, but the word of God abides forever. And then we got into the shepherd? Okay. Let's take chapter 34. And the reason I brought that up is because, well, there's the word right in the first verse. Do you think the translators should have capitalized the word? Yes, because it's proper. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Oops. And say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Remember we talked about the fact that when the Lord said he was the good shepherd, that implied something? Verse number 3, Ye eat the fat, and you clothe you with the wool, ye kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. Aren't you glad this only happened in Israel and this doesn't happen in the church? That's a wonderful thing. Verse 4. The diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away. Huh, almost sounds like that blind man, doesn't it? Neither have you sought that which was lost. Well, that almost seems like that woman taken in adultery. Isn't it funny how many coincidences, or is it coincidi, that you find in the scriptures? But with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. Ha! Huh. The hireling fleeth when he sees the wolf coming.
Would that be like right now?
It's almost like God read this chapter or something. Hmm. Oh, wait. He wrote this chapter.
Yeah.
Yes. Of course. That's why I facetiously said, aren't you glad that doesn't happen in the church? Verse number 6. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth. And none did search or seek after them, scattered on the whole face of the earth. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock, neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. What does that have to do with John chapter 10? Verse 11, for thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. What does this tell you about the good shepherd? Once again, the stone of Israel. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day, that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. Prophetic. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. Do you think that's going on in the nation of Israel today? Certainly not. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There they shall lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. Remember that parable of the vineyard and what followed right after it, that the Pharisees perceived he spoke that parable against them and sought to take him? Verse 17. And as for you, O my flock, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I judge between cattle and cattle, between the rams and the he-goats. Seemeth it a small thing unto you that you have eaten up the good pasture, but you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures, and have drunk of the deep waters, but you must foul the residue with your feet? You don't suppose he's talking about the leaven of the Pharisees, do you? No. As for my flock, they eat that which you have trodden with your feet. They drink that which you have fouled with your feet. When did the disciples finally figure out who the Pharisees were? On the day of Pentecost? Therefore, thus saith the Lord God unto them, behold, I, even I, will judge between the fat cattle and between the lean cattle, because you have thrust with side and with shoulder, and pushed all the diseased with your horns, till you have scattered them abroad. Oh, that guy was blind, wasn't he? Ha! Therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David, He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. Question, has that happened yet? No. Now, David is a type of Christ, and he was a shepherd, so how do you square away with my servant David being the one shepherd? Of course, and of course we could go to the book of Revelation where Jesus closes out the entire canon of Scripture by saying, I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. So many coincidences for an old musty book that's a collection of myth. You can't prove the Bible? Oh, yes, you can if you're paying attention. And I will make with them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beast to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And I will make them, the places round about my hill, a blessing. And I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing. Nobody's going to say, I thought I heard a song that was something like that. Verse 27. And the tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase, and they shall be safe in their land, and shall know that I am the Lord. And I have broken the bands of their yoke and delivered them out of the hand of those that serve themselves of them. Has that happened yet?
No.
So what's Ezekiel prophesying of? The millennial kingdom. Sure. Verse number 28, and they shall no more be a prey to the heathen, neither shall the beast of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely and none shall make them afraid. And I will raise up for them a plant of renown, and they shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen any more. No more idolatry. Thus shall they know that I, the Lord, I am the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord God. And look at the last verse. And ye, my flock, the flock of my pasture are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord God. Shepherds. There's quite a bit said about shepherds. We don't have time this morning, but maybe next time we'll see that the church has shepherds. And it has a chief shepherd, which shall appear. And then in the book of Hebrews, we'll see the great shepherd. And then, the Lord willing, we'll take a look at seven shepherds that were types of Christ. Guess which one Christ is? Yes, of course. I am the good shepherd. Let's pray.